church of God is for. Not to amuse people. Not first to do social work. So every Christian whose heart is touched by the power of Christ is interested in the needs of society. He works to convince people that they need Jesus. And then to turn them to him. And then he works to build them up in their faith and the church in its faith. And these two go together, the individual and the church. And then he works in a living church to discipline. Just as an individual Christian life must have discipline, so a church life must have discipline too. The church without discipline is like a fruit tree branch that has never been pruned. You can imagine what would happen if it was never pruned. And we have found in our church that the Spirit of God will discipline the church. And that discipline is sharp and it's painful, and we've known that. But we've also been allowed to see that out of the pain and the sharpness and the hurt, there comes an increasing fruitfulness as a result. And this to us is a sign, as we bow humbly before God, that God works in the church, not just to convince and convert, not just to build up, but also to discipline and to prove, in order that the life may continually be spread. God works, and then God guides. Now we as a church can bear a united testimony to that tonight. That if the people of God will seek his guidance, if they're ready to go his way, if they were prepared to wait his time and follow his lead, he will guide. He's the living God. And I, for one, wouldn't be here tonight if I thought we had to make our own arrangements and plans. Why? Things have happened in connection with this church that we could never have anticipated. He guides us to where you shall go. If I had time to tell you, I'd tell you the story of how we came to this particular plot of ground. It didn't exist so far as the town council was concerned. You couldn't see it on their map except a tiny little bit which they brushed over and said it was nothing. But God had kept it for us. He guides us to where. And he led us to this estate, and I know he led us to this plot of land. And if I ask some of the people here to say, I know that they led the church here in order to reach me, I'm sure there would be a number of people jump up and say, that's right. It was here I met with God. And he guides us as to when. We find his timing is perfect. We found that. Not only the time we should leave the other church, not only the time we should come into this church, but all the way along, God has guided us in the timing of everything that he has enabled us to do. And then he guides us as to who. The choice of leaders, of workers, of members. And as they cooperate with him, we see as time passes that his choice is right. If they don't cooperate, well, they drop out. But God chooses the people. And then he chooses what. He gives us the methods. We found that wonderfully too, and many of you know the sort of thing I'm talking about. He gives us the right method for the right stage of the work. He doesn't always lead us in the same way. God never leads to repeat himself. He doesn't drive you into ruts, though you may keep in one apparent rut for a long time, because that's the way he's working. He doesn't expect us to change for the sake of it. We have found that God gives us the ways and the means and the methods for his work. He does the guiding. Now, all this sounds rather airy-fairy to some of you tonight. I would suggest that you start trying it and find out. God is a living God who guides his people. I believe if all the details of even this little church were written down, it would be very difficult to say that this was planned by human ingenuity. It couldn't have been. God has done it and timed it every step of the way. He's guided. And my final word is this, that God provides. Now not only does he provide leaders and workers and methods, we've said that, but he provides all the material needs of people who are working with him. For every undertaking that is his, not us, he sends the money. And we never need to worry about money if the work is his. If the work is originated in ourselves, if it's our own wisdom and our own planning, it's the thing that we think would be good to do, then we can be worrying about money like anything and having all sorts of ways for getting the money in. But if the work is the Lord's, you can look to him and he will supply it. Now, one or two people have asked about how the money has come to this church, and one or two of our members have very simply told them, and they've laughed at it. They said, no, you can't pull that one on me. What is it? Where do you get it from? money and material for this church. He sent, in answer to prayer and no other way, the money to build this building. Here's an example of the answer to prayer. He gave us the site at one gift by a Church of England lady who was waiting, hoping that the Church of England would do something here. They have done it since. But she was too impatient. She said, I can't wait. If you're ready to go in, here's the money for the site. And so we had that one evening before we hardly decided to have the site. Then God has sent us the money for the church, and for the wall, and for the gates, and for our minibus to go around and collect people from more distant places. And then later on for the youth hall beside us here. And then just recently for the extension, which uses up almost all our ground now, the extension for the hall, which is already proving. So we're altogether well over, I haven't got any financial details, but well over £16,000. In answer to prayer. And then through all these years he supplied our needs, the upkeep of this place. Nearly all the time he has allowed us to have a full-time lady worker who can visit in the home and take part in the work. And then when special needs have come along, such as the coffee bar last year, which promised to take up about £200, eventually I think about £150, the church just rose as it were and gave it, or somebody gave it. And then when we came to pay for the hall, which was to have cost £15 a night for 8 nights, the people from whom we were hiring it charged us £15 altogether. That was the bill they sent it. And in these ways, you see, the Lord works, and he provides his people. Then he's enabled us to give commissionary causes. As you can see on our balance sheet, if you see it, if anybody would like to see one, we'll try to let you see one. And then, more than that, he has enabled us to give to our own missionaries to an extent that we know nothing about. By which I mean that they don't come on our balance sheets and they don't come into our accounts. Through a partnership scheme in which individuals give to help individual missionaries, I know for a fact, though I can't limit it, that something between £400 and £500 a year is given to our missionaries in this sort of way. And we just thank God for this, that he does this. He provides. Now, how does he do it? Well, I'll tell you two things. He does it through the sacrificial giving of his dedicated people. And I know this, that there are people in this church who don't give just what they can afford, they give beyond it. Because they know Jesus Christ gave everything for them. And it does make one glad and terribly humble and very prayerful in the use of the money when one sees how marvelously people give. Don't make the mistake of thinking that because we can be carefree about our needs, we are to be careless about the way we use the money. Never. Because we know we can be carefree because the money is God's, that when the money comes, we are so prayerful and so careful that we use it in the way God wants us to use it. And it's our job to cooperate with him in the right and careful use of the gifts, again and again and again, as the gifts are brought up here in the church. It comes upon me, O Lord, help us to use these aright. We don't know at what cost these gifts may be given to your work. Again and again I find myself saying, Lord, guide us as to how we're to use these gifts. He gives through the sacrificial giving of his dedicated people. And the second thing is this, he gives in the most unexpected and often completely unknown way. We've had gifts for this church, and I don't know who gave them. I don't know of anybody who would have been to know anyhow. And I just don't know. And then we've had people who have given us help so generously. People who are not particularly interested in church work have had their hearts moved to send in ridiculous bills for quite expensive jobs. And what can we say when they press it upon us? I laughed the last time someone did this for me, offered to do a job for £1 that would have cost 100. I just laughed and I said, this is ridiculous. He laughed too and said, well, we want to do. And we thank God for people like that. Now, we've learned this, that God has all sorts of unexpected ways of meeting the needs of his people, and we never need to trouble that we don't know how it comes. Don't you bother about that. Let the work be God's. Let us, the best way we know how, keep in touch with him. Let us refuse to go forward until we are as convinced as we can be that this is necessary for the work of God. And God will send the money. And so these are the three things that have been impressed on me in 10 years of this church. And I would say tonight, and I hope you are saying in your hearts with me, to God be the glory. Now, as we go forward into the unknown future, let's remember, the people of this church, that we're going with a God who is alive, a God who works, a God who guides, a God who provides for his people. And let's ask that he may be able to do much bigger things through our little people company than ever he's been able to do in the years of the past, because God is going to do it. Was it John Wesley who said his last words upon his death?